On this day in 1854, we read in the breviary that many cardinals throughout the entirety of the world, many bishops, and a great deal of the faithful gathered together with Pius IX, beseeching him to define infallibly that Mary was conceived without original sin. In an age in which there is so much sin, and all the sins of the world and all its history have come together to be had at one time, in order to battle against this sin, we appeal to her who was conceived immaculate and who completely won in every way, at all times, in each respect, the battle against sin, starting from the first moment of her own conception, so that she was preserved from original sin from the beginning. And there was great meeting on this day in 1854. Cardinals and bishops to promote the glory of Mary under Pius IX. And on this same day, December the 8th, 40 years ago, 1965, cardinals and bishops were again united together with the Pope to conclude the Second Vatican Council. This was the day, 40 years ago, when that council came to a close. It was not a council dedicated to the glory of Mary. In fact, in the very beginning of that council, there was a preparatory commission that had prepared for several years multiple documents that were supposed to be discussed. The principal documents were going to be discussed, Mary's mediators of all graces, to elevate her, so to speak, in the minds of the faithful, to realize how important she is for grace. Without her, there is no grace. Within the first week of the opening of that council, all of the 3 years or 4 years of preparatory work was thrown out. It was never defined that she was the mediatrix of all graces, though we all Catholics believe this. Mary was thrown out of the council from the first day. And then when the council came to an end 40 years ago today, she was not glorified. And if we see the art and the architecture that comes from this council, it does not show forth the glory of Mary. She has been removed from our churches. Many will remember her in the late 60s and the 70s especially. Priests were taking rosaries and breaking them apart from the pulpit with approval. Statues and stained glass windows of Mary were destroyed. My own home state of Kentucky, the Trappist Monastery, 300 monks would gather every night around a 35-foot stained glass window of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They would sing compline from their own memory without the need of the reading of the book, with only one light on in the entirety of the chapel, and that light shone upon the image of Mary, the Immaculate Conception. Those monks took sledgehammers and they obliterated that window. These are the fruits of Vatican II as regards the Blessed Virgin Mary. Those who find themselves at enmity with her shall be crushed under her heel. And if she would hold back her vengeance, her son will not. See yourself warned. I cannot hold back the arm of the vengeance of my son too much longer. And look at the vile statue of Mary that is now located in the cathedral in the Taj Mahoney in California, in which Our Lady is portrayed as masculine, rough hands, the hands of a man, face of a man, This is an abomination. And it is one of the fruits of the last 40 years. It concluded the council on the day of the Immaculate Conception as if to say, the devil is going to wage war in our church, and he knows who he's fighting against. He's fighting against Mary. He knows his enemy. He does know that he shall be defeated, that he is already defeated, but he knows his enemy. And if we want to conquer against the devil in our modern age, it is necessary to have a strong devotion to Mary and to remember her power is in her Immaculate Conception. The fact that she was free from sin, and that was her power. And if we wish to have power in the fight against Satan, we must free our own selves from the life of sin. We must devote ourselves to her. 5 years after the end of this council, the French Archbishop started a new order. The proper name of our order is the Apostles of Jesus and Mary. Our popular title, the Society of St. Pius X, but that is not the name of the order to which I belong. I'm a member of the Apostles of Jesus and Mary. And the primary patroness of the Apostles of Jesus and Mary, the Immaculate Conception. And our sister Lefebvre made her the special patroness of our order when it was founded. 5 years after Vatican II closed its doors, in effect against Mary, our sister Lefebvre opens the doors of the home under the patronage of Mary. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is about one reality, and that is her son. She was conceived immaculate for one purpose, that she might be the mother of God, that she might bear a son who would redeem the world. And he will redeem the world especially by being a priest. And therefore it is most fitting that in the battle against the priesthood that has happened in the last 40 years, when our sister Lefebvre founds an order for the purpose of preserving the priesthood, that it should have as its patroness the Immaculate Conception. The one who crushes the head of the serpent, the one who was first prophesied in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verses 15 and 16, and the very first prophecy ever made by God to man, when speaking to the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. There is a war. Who is the war against? It is against the devil and a woman. Between his seed and her seed. And in the end, what will happen? She shall crush thy head. The end of the story has already been told. But we are in a war. As St. Paul tells us, it is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities and the powers, the great powers of this darkness. It is a spiritual war in our material world. Each of us fights it every day. There are no bystanders in this war. There is no peace. We say often on retreats, there's no Switzerland. There is no neutral country. We are either going to be the disciples of the woman, or we are going to be the disciples of the serpent. We are following the serpent that slithers about, and faces not directly, and works behind, and works in satanic and evil ways, and works like a viper. Or we stand boldly with the colors of Our Lady. No true warrior goes into battle without the colors of his lady. He fights boldly for his lady. And the place where we first fight for Our Lady is in our own souls, against our own sins, both mortal and especially the deliberate venial sins that lead to so many troubles. We want to conquer the devil, yet we know that he's already been vanquished. It is not for us to conquer him, it is for her to conquer him. She does it with her heel. She need not exercise. She need not prepare. Her life is focused upon her son. Her life is focused on being the mother of him and forming him in souls. And as a sideshow, she looks over to the serpent. She puts her heel upon his head and she crushes him. It takes about a second and there's a small piece of what she is. Our focus must be like unto hers. We should not worry too much about the devil. We should rather focus on what she focused on, and that is forming the son within her womb, bringing him into the world, carrying him to souls, and living her life only for him. So if we are going to be her disciples, we need to try to imitate her in all these ways. And the only one that knows how to form Jesus Christ in the womb, that is in the interior life, is her. And if we want to form her, or rather him, inside of ourselves, then we need her heart. And we need her direction. And we need her care. And we need her ways. Forty years ago, Vatican Council II came to an end on this day. Since then, through the visible eyes, many great disasters, millions of souls leaving the faith, bishops and cardinals, priests, representatives of God, speaking against him in so many ways, no longer teaching his truths. Or if they do, only partially and not completely. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is a true woman. As every man knows, female vocabulary exists in two possible words. Always, never. Women do not speak in sometimes or in partial ways. The Blessed Virgin Mary is a woman, the most perfect of all and the most womanly of all. So perfect of a lady is she that we simply call her the Lady, Our Lady, the Lady of all ladies. Though she has the perfection of whatever is good in womanhood completely inside of herself, and there is nothing partial about her, everything is total. She is all the mediatrix of some graces to the mediatrix of all graces. She's not the mother of part to the mother of all. God gave her to all of us as our mother. She came into this world after the crucifixion, seeing that we are not pure and that we are all sinful. And she carried her immaculate conception, and she carries her immaculate conception to us. So that if we are going to really be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, we must remember that we are warriors in a war. We must imitate the ways of the divine warrior. We must learn what it means to fight for something. And what we are going to fight for is the divine love. And the method of our fighting shall be the method of charity. It is not the ways of the world. But there is no partial victory. There is only total victory. For in the end, we find ourselves in heaven with God. And those that are not on his side will find themselves damned. But there will be no one in between. Remember, purgatory is a temporary place. There will be no one in between. All of us want to remain comfortable and want to remain in between. Each one of us in our weakness. And we need to ask the Blessed Virgin to teach us how not to remain in between, how slowly to be brought out of our mediocrity into the life of the divine fervor, so that Christ can really be formed inside the world through being formed inside of myself. There is no other way that I can carry him to the world except by having him inside of myself. There's no other way to get him inside of myself except through her. We want fire in our belly, fire in our heart. We want to have the right kind of understanding. Then we need to go to our mother. Give all things to her, including our weaknesses, our faults, our sins, our foolishness. And she will take each one of them and use them and form them in the way that they need to be formed, using them for the glory of her Son. You must remember, on this anniversary, it will take one instant for Mary to crush the head of the serpent. And that whatever day she chooses to have her Immaculate Heart triumph, the day of her own choosing, on that day, it shall triumph. And remember, says Bishop Sheen, concerning evil and good, evil has its hour. The devil has his hour. It says in the Gospel of St. John, now is your hour and the hour of darkness, as he is about ready to go to his crucifixion. But God has his day. And his day is eternal. The hour of evil is temporary, and it does not last so long. But God's day is eternal. How long will this hour be in which we find ourselves? We are right now in the hour of darkness. How long will it last? Not very long. What are we to do? Ask for the gift of longanimity, long-suffering, fruit of the Holy Ghost. To wait for the coming of Christ. To wait without doubt. To wait without a schedule. To wait without fear. To wait without question. Knowing that whatever time that God chooses, he will come. And he will bring an end to the siege of our town, of our church, like unto the siege of Bethulia, the town in the Old Testament that Judas saved. Judas' wisdom is the wisdom of Mary. She will teach her wisdom to us. The foolish men who were inside of that city, they saw the Assyrians, and they saw at the Holofernes. They saw Holofernes, and they were afraid of him. They saw the walls being attacked. For 2 years, those walls were attacked. For 2 years, that city was assaulted, and they had not enough food, and they did not get reinforcements, and they could no longer have enough troops to even put a few on the walls. And the wise men of the city gathered together, and they said, we cannot hold out any longer. We've held out for 2 years. We will say a special prayer to God, a prayer that we must never say. And these old wise men said, we will say a special prayer to God. And that prayer is that he relieve us from this siege within 3 days. And if he has not relieved us from this siege within 3 days, we will accept it as a sign from heaven that we are to surrender. And all the people of Bethulia said this prayer. And the word went out to a young widow, Judith. She heard of this prayer. Without fear, she went up before the wise men of the city. How dare you say such a prayer? Or do you not remember that our people were backed up against the Red Sea, and the army of Pharaoh was coming, and in an instant a wall of fire stood between our people and the army of Pharaoh. And later on, then that water of the sea spread apart, and we walked on dry land through the midst of the sea and came out to the other side, And when the army of Pharaoh came in, they were swallowed up. And for 40 years, our people walked through the desert without preparing any food. And yet God sent manna and quail every day. And do you not remember the 40,000 soldiers of Sennacherib slain in one night by the angel of God? How dare you question God and put time limits on God? Do you not know that this kind of prayer leads to a curse and not a blessing? And if you wish to pray, pray in penance for such a prayer. And the old men recognized the wisdom of Judas, that they should not have said such a prayer, putting a time limit upon God. And therefore they put on sackcloth and ashes, and they beg forgiveness, not for their sin, but for their prayer. How do we pray? Do we pray with confidence? Do we really believe that the Immaculate Heart of Mary will triumph? Are we becoming discouraged because the hour has now gone on 40 years? Or the discouragement of our own lives because our habits of sin still continue? It is necessary for us to not allow discouragement into our hearts. Despite the weakness of our own sins or the travail of our church, in the end, the Immaculate Heart will triumph. There is no doubt. And if we have prayed, O Lord, how we cannot go on any longer, let us ask forgiveness for such a prayer. Rather beg, pray that we will have confidence that God will forgive us, and God will forgive us our sins, and God will bring an end to this chastisement in His own due time, and that time is good enough for us. And here is the great mystery. When this prayer is said perfectly, the troubles go away immediately. When we continue to the story of Judas, we discover that the people of Bethulia did not have to wait 3 days. Once they said the right prayer, Judas herself went out into the camp of Holofernes. She came back that very night with his head. It wasn't difficult. It didn't take long. It only took the faith of a great woman. And so they said to her, which we quote often in the Mass of the Blessed Virgin, "You are the glory of Jerusalem. You are the glory of our people Israel, and there is no other love." And if she is on our side, the devil shall be vanquished, victory is ours, we shall have the spoils, there is nothing to fear. All that we have to do is give ourselves completely to her. So I'll ask the grace to be able to do that. I'll renew here in a few moments that these prayers are said in Latin, the formula of oblation, that essentially is the giving of all that we have, holy sacrifice of the Mass that I celebrate every day, all of my possessions, and all of my being to be given to our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the end to be given all to Mary. So, oh my mother, I offer to you my whole being. And I ask that I be proved devoted to you. I consecrate to you my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being, because it is for you that I am. O good mother, keep me, defend me as your thing and possession. Amen. And that's the conclusion of our oblation. And it's decided in 5 to 10. And if we are going to remain faithful, requires the great grace of God. It is not possible without the great love of her. So pray for the priests of the Society of St. Pius X. Pray for all the members of that society, the apostles of Jesus and Mary, that we truly remain apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Mother. Because no other kinds of apostles will do in our age or in any age. We're going to be faithful. We're going to do good. Must be as true apostles. Apostles of Jesus and apostles of Mary and not apostles of anything else, or any other agenda, any other religion, or our own foolishness, apostles only of Christ and his mother. Pray for your priest. Pray for the society. Pray for the new superior general that will be elected next year. Much in the church sits upon his shoulders, whoever he may be. Pray for the church, because we are children of the church. Without the love of the church, without being children of the church, we have no value. Whoever is a child of Mary is a child of the church. Whoever loves Mary loves the church. So if we are truly the children of Mary and the Society of Pius X, and we truly love the church, truly love the Pope, and we are waiting for the day when the Blessed Virgin will bring victory through the conquering of her Immaculate Heart, we have no doubt, no question, except for the doubting of our own weakness, our own foolishness, our own self. We have no doubt of Mary, no doubt of her Son, no doubt in the Church, no doubt in the faith. These doubts can never enter our minds. Only the doubts of our own foolishness, our own pride, our own weakness, our own sin. And therefore, if we pray, it is that our pride, our weakness, our sins be removed.